Well, welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me is Chuck Bentley. He is the CEO and the host of Money Life. And Chuck, I got to say, I think we have the most exciting and spectacular guest we've ever had on Money Life today.
You know, Dave, I think this is a guest that you truly love, don't you?
You know what? I can honestly say I do.
Well, our audience has got to be intrigued. Who are we going to be talking to today?
Well, we're actually talking to my wife, Cindy, and we're going to talk about probably, other than maybe her children, her greatest passion in life is gardening and homesteading and helping people learn to enjoy that themselves. And we're going to talk about that today.
Well, and the reason we're going to talk about your wife is she's sort of a resident expert on this whole topic. And it's really in vogue today, Dave, because many people are returning to a trend that was popular decades ago. And they're doing what some people call going back to the land. And it's even if they don't have any land,
right,
they're figuring out ways to become urban homesteaders. And that simply means an attempt to gain self-sufficiency by growing and raising their own food, finding renewable energy sources, and sometimes even building their own houses. Mm-hmm. It can be very complex or very, very simple. And so today we're going to talk to Cindy about some simple ways that our listeners can experience the urban homesteading lifestyle. And it is a popular topic right now.
Well, it really is. And I hope it will be inspiring to people because, as you'll hear, Cindy nor I grew up around farming. We did not have parents who farmed or grandparents. We're city kids. And so everything that we're doing at the Lazy Bee Farm is stuff that we've learned from zero, or for me anyway, probably a negative perspective. I was not a green thumb at all.
So, well, I think of the popular TV show back when we were young, Green Acres, because of what you and Cindy are doing, mm-hmm. because you really didn't have any experience whatsoever.
Absolutely.
And now you're doing the full-blown thing. And I think our listeners are going to truly enjoy learning how they can get involved in what's called urban homesteading, moving towards a more self-sufficient lifestyle, everything from container gardening, raising organic foods, and then stocking up on seasonal items where they can eliminate some trips to the grocery store. I'm really looking forward to introducing Cindy, the better half of the Ball family, to our listeners today.
Well, if you want to get a jump start on what we do at the Lazy Bee Farm, we've got a website, and that is thelazybeefarm.com, and you can go take a look at the things that we're doing at our homestead. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our special, special guest today is Cindy Ball. Cindy, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
I know you're the better half of Dave Ball, and we've been talking a lot about your activities at home at the Lazy Bee Farm. Tell us about your family and what you do at the Lazy Bee Farm.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. We are a family. We have six children. My husband and I have been married for almost 24 years. And yes, we do homestead.
Well, what is homesteading?
Well, homesteading for us is self-sufficiency, becoming more independent from the local grocery store and the typical means for getting food.
So, Cindy, what led you to be interested in this concept of homesteading and self-sufficiency?
Well, I think it's interesting. Our journey, and I definitely would call it a journey, started 18 years ago. It wasn't something that we woke up one morning and said, gee, today we're going to homestead. It's definitely been a process. We started in Seattle, Washington, where we lived. We had two children at the time, and we lived on what we found to be, when we sold our house, less than a legal size lot.
So you call it a postage stamp lot, right?
Yeah. There's
like nothing there. So you're not really the typical candidate to even be thinking about doing all this self-sufficiency thing.
No.
In fact, probably many of our listeners are identifying right now and going, yeah, that's me.
Yep.
Why are we talking about this? So
yes.
Tell me more about the journey. How did you get from being in this mega city on a small lot to being a homesteader?
Well, it started with having children. After we had our first child, for us, our whole focus changed. Now we were responsible for another life, their health, how were we going to raise them. You know, now you start thinking about responsibilities and character and values that we had never really thought about before having a child. And so that's really where it started for us. For me, I wanted healthy children. There was a point where Dave was, we didn't have insurance. And at that point, I realized we needed to be preventative in how we were raising our kids rather than waiting until something happened and then running them to the doctor.
So that led you to want to have food that was either organically grown,
right,
pesticide-free,
right,
hormone-free,
right,
all of those kind of things, right?
Right. And herbs. You know, as much as we could use herbs, I started studying about how we could use herbs medicinally.
So the first step was just knowledge, right?
Yes, a lot of research. I did a lot of reading, a lot of research, and talk to people who were already in that field.
So did you have to pick up and move out into the country where you are now, or did you start right there on that postage stamp lot in the big city?
Started in the city.
So this homesteading isn't just for people who live in the country then?
No, it really is a mindset. It's how you think about what you're going to do with your life. You don't need, we live on almost 7 acres. You don't need that much land. In fact, what I learned in Seattle, I'm still using on that much acreage today.
Well, later in the program, we're going to talk some real specifics about how people can do this. But give us the full-blown picture now. I know the Lazy Bee is a big operation, and this whole idea of self-sufficiency, there's a lot of work involved. Give us an idea of everything that you do today, Cindy.
Okay. Our homestead consists of, let me go through the animals first. We have cows, horses, sheep, chickens, dairy goats, one meat goat, several dogs and cats.
And lots of bees.
And lots of bees, yes, yes.
Okay, now the plants.
The plants, we have a huge vegetable garden, lots of herbs, a lot of flowers just because I like the flowers and I like to feed my own bees, and we have an orchard.
So, Cindy, with all of that activity, what's the end result for you? Are you living self-sufficient? Do you eat your own beef? Do you eat your own plants? Do you eat your own honey and drink the goat's milk? Tell me how it all works.
Yes, we do.
All the above.
All of the above. And like I said, it didn't all start like that. It's a building process. When we first got there to the land, they had just had horses on it. So there were no vegetable gardens. There was no orchard. There was no flower beds. That was something that we had to put in. And there were no outbuildings. There was one horse stall. And so over the 6.5 years that we've been there, each year we just added on another layer to the homesteading or getting closer to self-sufficiency. Are we completely there yet? No, we're not. Someday, my goal is to be, you know, more so, but we just take it one step at a time as much as we can manage.
What do you think the financial impact is of all of this work, Cindy? How does it help the budget? What does it do in terms of impact on your family finances?
It's had quite a bit of an impact, especially when it comes to our meat. The way we raise our meat is I buy 2 calves a year from a dairy. They're bull calves. They don't want them. So I get them for fairly inexpensively, like $40 a calf. And then we raise them out for 18 months. And at the end of that 18 months, I have people who buy part of one cow. One is for us, our family, and the other we sell. With the proceeds that we get from selling that, it pays for all the feed for the 18 months, and it pays for our own cow and the butchering fee. So in essence, in 18 months, now we have to do all the work. We go out there every day and feed and, you know, make sure that they're healthy and all their needs are met. We have about 600 pounds in our freezer of beef essentially for free.
So you're not running to the grocery store trying to pick up some more hamburger?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't. And we also do that. I didn't mention we have pigs also. We do the same thing with our pigs. We raise one for ourselves, three others for other people, and the money that we make off of that pays for ours. And we usually end up with about 200 pounds of meat, of pork from that.
Well, Cindy, let's talk to our listeners who are thinking, how in the world would I get started? I'm not a farmer. I'm not a gardener.
Exactly.
I don't know anything about this. If they want to begin a journey toward more self-sufficiency, this idea of being an urban homesteader, which has become so popular, what's the first step? Where do they begin?
That's easy, because I was that. We didn't call it then, but I was the urban homesteader. My first suggestion to anybody, first off, is to do the research. Make sure that you even want to get started in this. The second thing is gardening. It's a huge popular subject right now. There's a lot of information that's out there. But to me, that's the easiest step to start in being self-sufficient.
Are there resources that you like to recommend to people, places that you go?
I do. The internet has a ton. What I would like to suggest to the listeners is that they visit our website, thelazybeefarm.com. We will have a link for them from this radio broadcast that I will put on there, my favorite links to what's on the internet, favorite books that I used, things that have been most helpful to us in our gardening.
Well, I can assure you that my wife, Anne, will be on your website after this broadcast because she loves this stuff. She enjoys gardening. We have started what's called square foot gardening at our home, and we live in the city in a cul-de-sac like many of our listeners. And so I know this is going to hit home with Anne today as well. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with more from Cindy Ball.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our special guest today is Cindy Ball, talking to us about the very popular topic of urban homesteading. Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Dave, I was just thinking at the break, you call this farm the Lazy Bee Farm, but there's nothing that's really lazy about it, is there?
You're absolutely right, Chuck. And actually, the name is really more tongue-in-cheek than it is reality. The BF stands for ball, not bee, but if you were thinking about even a bee, bees are the most busy creatures on the planet. But we just found that that was a name that stuck, and it sticks in your mind. So.
And neither one of you are farmers in your background. Your parents weren't farmers, is that right?
Nope. And I think that's probably one of the best things about what we do is encouraging people, because if we did it, literally anybody can do it, because we had no background, we had no history, we learned everything from zero. And so if people are listening and they've never done this, they can do it.
Well, Cindy, let's talk to our listeners who want to do this.
Okay.
What's the first thing they need to do to get started?
The first thing I would do is check if they've decided already that they want to do the gardening. I would check to find out what zone you're in, because that zone will determine what plants and vegetables you can grow in your area.
And then after you've done your research, what do you do next?
The next thing that I would do is find out where in your yard you would want to put your garden. Now, I know I have some friends who live in subdivisions where there's covenants saying that they cannot put a garden in the ground. For those people, I would highly suggest container gardening. You can move those. You can have them on your deck. You can have them on your windowsills. And you can still grow food and stay within the covenant.
And you started with the same method that Ann and I use, which is called square foot gardening.
Square foot gardening.
Tell us how you do that.
The square foot gardening is wonderful. It's the most efficient money-saving, time-saving way of gardening. Basically, everything is planted on a grid. And you start with a 4x4 square box, and then within that, it's a 1x1 foot is how you're planting.
Some people call it a raised garden. It's above the ground. We don't put it in the ground. We just put the soil in there.
Correct.
And then do you start with seeds, or do you start with live plants that you transplant? How do you do it?
Both. Some plants are definitely better planted by the seed. Others are better to bring in a transplant. Let the nurseryman, you know, fuss with them when they're little. You get them when they're more mature and put them in the ground.
Are there some things that are harder to grow from your experience, or is it all, or does it all sort of grow if you do it right?
Well, I have found with the soil mixture that they recommend for the square foot gardening, the yield is unbelievable and the plants are super healthy. I've been very, very impressed with this.
So, Cindy, how much produce do you think a person can get out of a 4x4 box, which is, in some cases, their entire garden?
Out of one 4x4 box, depending on the size of your family, from the book, the statistic is one 4x4 will supply enough salad for one person for an entire season. So if you don't eat a lot of salad, you can have enough for a small family for an entire season.
So have you ever figured out how much that saves you from buying the stuff at the grocery store? Because we used to buy it in bags, pre-mixed salad.
Right.
And we're doing what you're recommending. We've got the boxes in our backyard, and the stuff is growing beautifully. How much will that save us at the grocery store?
Well, I usually buy 2 bags of lettuce in the off-season when you can't grow lettuce from Sam's Club for about $3 a bag. So that's $6 a week that I was spending on that. When lettuce is in season, I get more than that per week.
So what does it cost to set up a garden? Let's just make it really simple. If I'm going to get started with container gardening, if I live in an apartment, I'm going to put my pots out on the back balcony or on the front porch, wherever. I'm just going to get started. What's it going to cost me?
It can cost as little as you want it to cost. If you like to do salvage hunting and buying, you can pick up containers for nothing, pretty much. Your soil is going to cost you a couple of dollars, and then your plants are minimal in price. I think what's easier is if I gave you, let's go back to this, the 4x4. The 4x4 for everything, your soil and your wood and the supplies that you need, is less than $50. There's a statistic that one tomato plant costs about $2. You have a couple of cents worth of fertilizer and water, and you can get $60 worth of yield of tomatoes off of one tomato plant. So one tomato plant in your 4x4 square or in your container is going to more than cover the cost of what you put into it.
So, Cindy, you have 6 children. You're a busy mom. How do you work all of this into your lifestyle?
It's fun. We also homeschool, so I do have helpers around. Although I will say my kids they tend more towards the animals than the gardening. That's really kind of my thing. But they will help if I ask for that.
Are there biblical lessons that you're teaching your kids as you watch God's creation grow and you watch these animals produce food that you're eating?
Absolutely.
How do you relate that to their education?
A lot of character building, a lot of responsibility that they have either with the animals or with the plants. The one verse that I go back to is in Proverbs where it says, study the ways of the ants and how they gather and they store up for the winter. And that's what I'm teaching my children. It doesn't happen overnight. I want them to understand that it's all a process. Yes, you can run down to the grocery store and have it. But what if something happens to that grocery store? I want them to know how to be independent and to learn the biblical principle of storing up, delayed gratification, and being dependent mostly on the Lord and not on whatever else is out there.
Well, and Cindy, you've grown this enterprise to such extent now that it's become a family-based business, right?
Yes, it has. We have 40-some chickens and produce way more eggs than we need, so we sell our eggs, we sell surplus vegetables, we sell our honey from the bees, and the interest has grown. People have asked for classes, so now we've started teaching classes on gardening, raising chickens, on homesteading in general and how to get started.
So, Cindy, you've become the Martha Stewart type of urban homesteading.
Well, I tell you what, it's a passion of mine. It's a passion to teach people how to live healthier lifestyles and to be independent and self-sufficient.
Well, Cindy Ball, thanks for being our guest today on Money Life.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, I have to say that was a lot of fun having Cindy here in the studio today with us. And I know she had a notebook full of additional information she wanted to give, but that's just not able to be done in about 15 minutes of recording.
Well, I enjoyed having Cindy as well, and she was so gracious to be willing to do that. It's not something she does often because she's busy at the Lazy Bee Farm. And by the way, give that web address one more time, Dave.
Yeah, the web address is The Lazy Bee Farm, not Lazy Bee Farm, The Lazy Bee Farm. com. And when you go there, you'll find a lot of information. Much of what was in that notebook that she didn't get to today is available, along with some photos and videos of what we do at the farm, as well as the ability to sign up for our weekly newsletter, which kind of keeps you up to date on what we're doing, as well as some tips on gardening.
Well, I hope our listeners will go there and pick up insight on how to become more self-sufficient. And, you know, Dave, the reason I think that that message resonates with so many people is that there are biblical principles embedded in the things that you and Cindy you're doing. It reminds me of Paul's advice to us in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you. Now, that's not what most people think our ambition should be. Paul basically is saying, be mobile the other direction, not upward. He's saying, make it your ambition, your purpose, where your energy goes, to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, because there's a payoff to that, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Think about the great ministry it is to show a person that you can enjoy life in a contented way by doing the simple things and moving towards self-sufficiency. In fact, Paul goes on to say that there's another reason that that should be your ambition, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. As believers, we should be the people that are resourced in such a way that we can help others, that we break our dependence on others so that we're the funnel that God's blessing flows through to other people during difficult times. And so often we make it our ambition to live on the financial edge. And what you and Cindy are doing is saying, no, we're going to lead a quiet life. We're going to mind our own business, work with our hands, create self-sufficiency, and be prepared to have surplus, to have margin in terms of food and honey and beef and all these, and eggs and all these wonderful things, not so that you can be self-sufficient and hide from the world, but that so you can be givers to the world that desperately needs a great example.
Well, Chuck, from the moment that we set foot on that property almost 7 years ago, that was our prayer, that God would use that place, not just for our family, but as a place of ministry, that we could reach out to our neighbors, to the people who would be in our community, and he's doing that in ways that we never believed.
Well, I look forward to hearing from our listeners who start that first garden, even if it's in a coffee can on the balcony of their apartment complex.
Absolutely. Well, we're out of time for today's broadcast. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of Money Life.